This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For composer Dan Asia, music is a form of prayer. And like prayer, it helps us understand our lives in relation to something bigger. Asia set to music the poetry of Yehuda Amichai, who is remembered as one of Israel's most famous contemporary poets. Amichai earned his reputation with poems like this. God is the stairs that ascend to a place that no longer exists or that doesn't exist yet. Yehuda Amichai's poems wrestle with concepts of religious and national identity in the modern world. Composer Dan Asia has set many of those poems to music, and they will be performed tonight at 7:30 at Elon University's Whitley Auditorium. But first, Dan Asia is here. Welcome, Dan. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being with you.
We're also joined by Rabbi Steven Sager, who is a local expert on Yehuda Amichai and has translated several of his works. Welcome back, Steve. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Tell us about this poet.
This is a poet who won my heart many years ago. He won my heart because I have a very deep fascination with rabbinic literature as it enters into conversation with modern experience. And Amichai was really the great example of a poet who would do that, who took biblical images very, very seriously, made them a part of his life, read his life into the images and the images into his life. And his Hebrew is pristine and beautiful and, what shall I say, colloquial, street Hebrew.
And what does that mean? Because I've read that about his work, and I've been warned that if any poet loses something in the translation, it's him, because we're talking about a language that is millennia old, and then what does it mean to be contemporary and colloquial?
Amichai really is a contemporary of the State of Israel, virtually the same age, growing up with a language that's and a people trying to make itself new in a new and also old context. To take the palette of an old vocabulary and learn how to paint with it in modern terms is extraordinary. There is no word for highway in the Bible or for electricity. How does one live a language into a modern usage? Well, that work had already been started before Amichai. But poetry was on a certain kind of pedestal. It lived in a dust-free environment, in a way. It painted beautiful and majestic, romantic figures. And Amichai said, no, there is a poetry that is found in the music of the street, in music of the everyday. The roots of the words are the same. The mosaic pieces are still the same. They're being used in a different way. And language resonates on so many different levels, from the ancient all the way through to the modern uses of it. So Amichai really gave birth to, in some ways, a kind of poetic expression that is at once high and also accessible.
Dan Asia, what is it about his music, musical use of language, his poetry, that attracted you?
Well, Rabbi Sager stated it very, very well. Like any truly great poet, what attracted me is his ability to look at the intensely personal through the perspective of the universal and vice versa. In other words, in a poem like God's Hand is in the World, he talks about how God is literally involved in the world. And then he says, yeah, but just like the way my mother's hand is involved in the guts of a slaughtered chicken. In other words, it's somehow making God's relationship to his people and the people to God corporeal. It actually exists tangibly. It's not something that's beyond reach. It's not something that you can't grasp. It's something that's right there with you all of the time.
And I guess this is, Steve, what you're talking about, the value of this language that is ancient and has so many liturgical valences, balances that make you remember and put you in the mind of something. I mean, I guess if there's a comparison to be made, it would be the King James Bible for Christians, a kind of highfalutinness in the language, which if you mix with the everyday has a certain power. Is that what's going on here or some of what's happening here?
I think some of what's going on here is precisely that. The resonance of a particular phrase. Take the phrase that Dan just mentioned. God's hand in the world is like my mother's hand. God's hand in the world. Well, that summons up an image of a Bible story. This is the hand of God, the plagues of the brought upon the Egyptians and so on, the hand of God in the world. All of a sudden, the hand of God in the world from that biblical story and precisely those Hebrew words becomes the hand of his mother entering into the world of a chicken that she's ready to prepare for the Sabbath. And by the way, while his mother's hand is in the chicken and God's hand is in the world, his mother is looking out the window at the world, and God also, in the person of his mother, is looking into the world, looking through the window. So on many, many levels, there's a theology here and a kind of hominess and an earthbound nature of language that is in some way set free to be anything but earthbound.
So, Dan, it sounds like Amichai has done much of this processing. What's the next step for you? How do you then put these poems to music?
So what does a composer bring to the music? That's the question I think you're asking, and that is, any great piece of art, seems to me, whether it's a great poem, whether it's a great piece of music, whether it's a great story, can be read on many different levels and with many different understandings, and that's what makes it great. Also, we come back to it, we find new things that correspond somehow to our lives as we're going through our journeys. So my job at any given point, if I'm setting a text, is to try and find what the text means to me when I'm reading it. So I have to spend a lot of time with a text, try and grasp it, try and take it in, try and figure out all of the imagery that I'm understanding in the poem, and then through my musical context, bring that out. And what's great about working with a poem like this or a poem by, is, well, we'll talk, I think, later about somebody like Paul Pines, is, as Paul said, gee, you know, you brought out something in the poem that I didn't even know was there, but of course it's obvious now that I see it. In other words, we assume that any artist always knows exactly what they're doing at any time, but of course that isn't really the case. Any artist will tell you that often they are transported, they're taken someplace, they're in it for the ride, and they know that something is happening and something good is happening, and they don't always know exactly what it is. So I'm able to find that in a poem, and that's why I love working with Amichai's poems, because they function on so many different levels and one can find so much in them.
Well, I want to hear a sample right now. This is a poem by Yehuda Amichai. It is called Through Two Points, and as I say, it's based on this poem. Here's the music of Dan Asia, and our vocalist is Krias Pedro Atrakis. Let's listen.
A stray dog chased us down an empty street. I threw a stone, the dog did not retreat. The king of Babel stood pleading wrath. Through 2 points, only one straight line can pass. Is enough for many pains, as locomotive power can pull on trains. When will we step inside the looking glass? Through 2 points, only one straight line can pass.
There is a little bit of the a composition by Dan Asia of the Yehuda Amichai poem Through 2 Points. Now that was in English, and did you work with the Hebrew, and sort of which interpretation do you go with?
Well, I certainly did look at the Hebrew, but I'm an American Jewish poet, and in this case, I felt I needed to set these in English for an audience in the United States. A number of friends who are very fine Hebrew speakers say, yeah, but how can you possibly set Amichai and not do the Hebrew? You're losing so much. And the answer is, look, that's part of what I have to do, is I deal with many texts, many different occasions. And you do the best you can with different translations.
The performance at Elon, as you say, is also based on the poetry of Paul Pines. How does his work compare with Amichai?
Paul, I think, is one of the great American Jewish poets, without a doubt. I've been working with him for 35 years, and the similarities between his work and Amichai, or simply the strength of both of them, is astonishing. Paul actually knew Amichai. They met at some point when Amichai came to this country. Paul has a similar kind of resonance in his poetry. He's very strong on Jewish texts, very strong on other myth structures of around the world, and particularly, obviously, ancient Greek and Roman myth structures. So he pulls all of that together with an American Jewish sensibility. And in fact, in the piece that you played, Symphony No. 5, there's a mingling, an attempt to show a large view of the Jewish experience in the latter half of the 20th century through the poetry of Pines, Amichai, and then mediated through the Psalms.
Can you give us an example? I know you have a poem there that you can read.
Yeah, let me read this one. It's called Job Longed for the Grave. Job longed for the grave, would have preferred it to the lesson David learned throughout his life as king among the chosen, that the Lord, whose unmediated suffering flows through creation, requires us, blossoms of his sorrow, to open in praise.
Dan, when you work with poetry like this that is written out of a particular tradition and will have a certain meaning to people within that tradition, how do you imagine the music, in other words, your audience, who's listening and the impact it'll have?
I imagine this for any sort of audience, which is to say, in the same way that there is music in the Christian tradition, I as a Jew and others of other faith traditions can certainly understand and enter into the world of that tradition. Doesn't mean that I will be a believer in it, but I can put myself in the place of somebody in the same way that I do with any piece of art or any piece of drama, as it were. And I would hope that through my particularity in this, and this is also a particularly Jewish idea in many respects, and that is that through particularity we understand the universal. And through someone entering into my particular take, any Jew's particular take on the world, they enter into a universal understanding of the world and themselves also.
Rabbi Sager, if we go back to Yehuda Amichai's work, there's a poem that you've translated, and others as well, called The Face of God, that I think in many ways raised the question for me about what this would do for a Jewish listener and a non-Jewish listener in terms of the way it could recontextualize my understanding of my own faith if I were Jewish, and some of the big themes that I think he raises in that poem.
Would you like to hear the poem?
Why don't we do that? Let's see. It's a little long, but let's give it a try.
All right. Moses, our teacher, only once saw the face of God and forgot. He did not want to see the wilderness, not even the promised land, but only the face of God. He struck the rock in the fury of his longings. He went up and down Mount Sinai. He shattered the two tablets of the covenant and made a golden calf. He searched in fire and smoke. But he remembered only the strong hand of God and his outstretched arm, not his face. And he was like someone who wants to remember the face of a loved one but cannot. He made himself a police sketch from the face of God and from the burning bush and from the face of Pharaoh's daughter who leaned over him when he was an infant in the basket. And he distributed the picture to all the tribes of Israel and throughout the wilderness. But no one had seen, and no one recognized. And only at the end of his life on Mount Nebo did he see and die with a kiss from God's face.
Why is that? What does that poem say to you? Why is that poem important?
This poem is important to me as a Jewish traveler, spiritual traveler, but also I think generally to spiritual travelers. It is about the personal search. And Amichai does one thing that he really loves to do, which is to undermine what you think is the story. You think that Moses went up to the top of that mountain and worked those plagues and struck the rock and so on, all in the pursuit of some epic God-ordained search to help the people, to be the public personality that we know from the Bible. But no, it was all, Amichai says, those were the outer trappings of an inner search. He once upon a time stood before a bush that was burning but not burning up, and he saw a face. He saw something. He saw a surface anyway. And he looked right at it, and that was really fine until the voice identified itself as being God. And then he covered his face, according to Exodus, because he was afraid to look at God. And Amichai is imagining that Moses spent the rest of his life wondering, why did I look away? I was doing just fine. I was given a particular vision, and I carry it with me only in flickers. Can I ever recapture that face? And everything from there on is a pursuit of that which he deeply knows and wants to be able to see again.
Dan Asia, as you hear that, and I'm sure these are some of the thoughts that were sort of running through your mind as you're trying to create this soundscape around, or the musicscape around the music, this idea of sort of the outer, what we see on the surface, and then I guess in the way that music can uniquely penetrate beyond that kind of rational narrative to something that's much deeper in all of us and always hard to articulate in words.
Well, as Rabbi Sacred just said, I mean, that's what's so phenomenal about this is that, and about music, by the way, for that matter, because music is such a mysterious process. What better thing to do than to use music to somehow try and contemplate another mystery? That this is an imagistic phenomenon. It's not something that we can truly capture in words, although we do the best we can because we're human beings. But we also then try and capture that experience in music and try and bring that to people's understanding and recognition. We go beyond the words, into a place that where that mystery actually is present and where we can come in contact with it in a way that perhaps we can't with words.
Well, Dan, it's a pleasure. Looking forward to the performance. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Dan Asia is a composer and a professor of composition at the University of Arizona. Rabbi Steven Sager is a local expert on Yehuda Amichai. He's translated several of his works. He is also the director of Sicha, which promotes an ongoing dialogue between classical Jewish texts and the living experience. And you can find out more about that at our website, stateofthings.org. The music of Dan Asia tonight, 7:30, Elon University's Whitley Auditorium. And there's a 6:30 panel discussion that precedes the music. That's our program for today. As I said, you can go to our website if you missed any of that. And our website is stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Mataferi, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley, the technical director. Brent Wolf, the news director. This is North Carolina Public Radio. I'm Frank Stacio.